Well, amen to that. Thank you so much for singing. Sorry we lost the words there, a little glitch at the end, but we want to continue tonight in our series about prayer, and this is the discipline of prayer. I put it in your introduction, or Stephanie did for me, that tonight we're not looking at primarily passages that are primarily prayer passages, but we're giving principles that we certainly can apply to our prayer lives. So as I tried to put these thoughts down, I wanted to give a few things that would help us. We've got biblical principles, and one of those would be to have tenacity and continuing forward and go what God wants you to do. And we're going to apply those to our prayer life. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said God does nothing but by prayer and everything with it. And John Rice, the founder of the Sword of the Lord, back, we found that in 1934, he said all of our failures are prayer failures, that we could have seen God do so much more with our prayer. And so I think about this, and I think about the discipline of prayer, and I trust that God would speak to our hearts about this idea and this thought about it, and that discipline of prayer, meaning that we are continuing on. Now, we could have started Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. We could have had lots of verses that we sprung off in prayer, but we've been going on some of this and learning about how we should be engaged in prayer and some of the aspects. But today, I want to look at the discipline of it. And as we look at the discipline of it, I want us to realize that there is this aspect that you just decide, that's what I'm going to do. So I want you to look at Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8, if you would. Daniel's large book in the Old Testament. You find Ezekiel, it's a big book. Daniel's after that. Daniel chapter 1, in the story aspect of the early part of the book, when Daniel is found faithful in the foreign land of Babylon, and again, this principle is given that he decides that he's going to do something that the Lord wants him to do. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now again, we see this decision that Daniel makes that I'm not going to do what is put on my plate, pun intended, I guess, but on my plate, I'm not going to eat or drink the things. He decides to do the things, and we're going to transition to prayer here in just a minute, but he decides to do the things that he is supposed to do. Do you know that a lot of the battle is won or lost when we simply won't make a decision that that's what I'm going to do? Do you know how you got here tonight? You decided to. There may be some kids downstairs, they didn't decide to, they were forced. Forced labor, that's what they were. They were forced to come. Maybe, but you decided to. You said, no, it's just what I do. Okay, well, you made a decision sometime that I'm just always going to go. You said, no, I'm just here because I want my kids to be in the kids' class. Okay, well, you decide to have them there. There's so many things that we look at, we decide to do them. We do truly, and it sounds simple, but it's true, we do what we want to do. Now, there's some things we can't do. I'd like to hit the ceiling here in this room. I can't do that. So we don't do what we want to, if that. But as far as the activities in our lives, we do what we want to do. If you want to be there for somebody, you'll be there for somebody. If you want to go get something for someone, you'll go get something for somebody. If you wanted to stay home tonight, you could have found a reason to stay home. You say, oh, no, I always come unless I'm sick. You could have been sick enough to stay home. My head's hurting right now, I think. No, it's not. I don't want to say that in case. But many of you in this room, you've got enough of a headache to stay home if you wanted to use that. So we decide to do what we want to do. So did we want to go on vacation? Well, if we get there, we made a decision to do it. Did we want to go to work? No, I don't want to go to work, but I want to get paid. Well, still a decision was made to get our paycheck, which requires that we go to work. We decide to do these things. So in our prayer, maybe it's not been. We're going to get to some of the specifics of what we do after we decide. But you and I ought to decide tonight, I'm a Christian, I ought to be praying. It's really that simple. That I'm a Christian, and Christian people are supposed to pray. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I know how. We live in such an information-rich age that you can go on 13 people's blog before As soon as you hit enter, you can go a lot more than that. But you can go on a number of them, or ask somebody in the church, give me the specifics or the basics of it. We'll get to some of those in just a little bit. But first, decide. But number two, though, not only deciding, but I want you to look in, let's look in Psalm 55 over in 119, where you don't need to go, but Psalm 55, verse number 17, in Psalm 119, 164, it talks about seven times a day do I praise thee, praising the Lord. God says he inhabiteth the praises of Israel. But over in Psalm 55, Psalm's easy to find, the big book in the Old Testament, the big one. Psalm 55, verse number 16 and then 17. The Bible says this, as for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. This is a psalm that's saying, I'm going to cast my burden upon the Lord. Verse number 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Not only do we decide to pray, but we also decide when to pray. Now, the psalmist says here, evening, morning, noon. And I thought about it like this. Somebody said at some leadership conference or leadership seminar, what we schedule, we do. Meaning what I put on the schedule that I'm going to do this, that's what we usually end up getting done. Now, when I say schedule, I don't mean that it's going to be from 7:32 till 8:21. I don't mean the schedule, although that would be fine. But you could say, I'm going to pray tomorrow morning. Maybe my day's a little bit off from somebody else. Maybe you don't always get up at the same time, whatever. But the scripture here, the psalmist says, evening, morning, and noon, I'll pray and cry aloud to the Lord. But you ought to not only decide, I'm a Christian, I'm going to pray. Well, if you're going to eat tomorrow, you probably have a pretty good idea of when that's going to be. I don't wait too long after I get up, or I only eat this close to bedtime, or I usually wait this far in the middle of the day because I don't want to eat my lunch too early, but I don't want to wait too long because my blood sugar gets low, or whatever you've got a pretty good idea of when you'll eat tomorrow. Well, what I'm asking us to do as Christians, decide not only do I know when I'm going to eat, but I also know about the time I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray before I get out and drive to Kingsport to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend some time talking to the Lord. I'm going to do this. Not only decide to pray, but then decide when to pray. Now, number three, we're going to branch off here and trust that the Lord will help us in this. We're going to decide how to pray. In that verse that I put on there in Proverbs chapter number 30, it talks about the ants preparing their meat in the summer and talking about getting things done ahead of time. Basically, I brought that principle in just because you're putting thought into how you're going to get something accomplished. So from that, we'll launch into where you see that ACTS. And I want you to, as you do that, look over at Matthew chapter number 6. This is going to be the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach us to pray, the disciple said, and Jesus says, when thou prayest, you won't be as the hypocrites, verse number 5, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. But when thou prayest, verse number 6, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet. When thou shut thy door, we see that secret part of prayer because it really matters what you and the Lord are doing, not what other people see you do. But in verse number 9, we see the Lord's prayers that comes down through there in verse number 9 of Matthew 6. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is not original with me, but somebody came up with this little acrostic, ACTS, A-C-T-S. And I don't think you have any blanks on there, but as I explain them, it comes basically from this model prayer. A for adoration. And this is very good for you just to write down that word ACTS, and this is very fitting for you to pray through just the way it is. Adoration. Hallowed means holy, separated, sanctify it. I'm hallowing your name. Meaning you can't make God any more holy because God is holy. But what you are saying when you're hallowing his name, Lord, I know that you are holy. I am sanctifying it in my own thoughts and in my lips. I know who you are. And somebody says, well, you should pray and confess your sins. Well, that'll come just in a little bit. But as it's listed down here in the Lord's Prayer, the first thing that God gives, Jesus gives them as a motto is realize who you're praying to. Hallowed be thy name. And then we see on the sea after that, the acts after the adoration or the adoring or the worshiping him, adoration there, we see the confession. Verse number 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so we see that confessing aspect coming to God saying, Lord, forgive me. Now, you know, I mentioned last week, if you were here, I would not say, well, I did a sin here. It's noon. Tonight I'm going to get that right. I'm a big proponent of you get it right then. Going right while you're going, if you got mad and said some unkind things to that person over there in the other car, keep your eyes open, but pray right then. Say, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have acted like that. If you're at work and you're unkind to somebody, then Lord, forgive me for that. I shouldn't have done that. You don't need to wait till the end of the day. But as we're talking about this specific prayer time, I'm starting off, Lord, I know who I'm coming to. I'm adoring you. I'm praising you, worshiping you, praising you for what you've done, worshiping you for who you are. I give adoration. I give confession. Lord, forgive me. We know what confession is like. All of us have seen enough shows or movies. They go into that little black box and you tell your sins to somebody. You don't have to tell anybody. We've got an advocate, the Bible says. We've got that. It'll go straight to the Lord. We don't have to go to somebody to get to him. And so we cut out that middleman. We just go straight to him. We confess. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Talking with somebody just recently, and they were talking about, is God judging them for something that they did? And you get in a lot of trouble when you start putting on to God what he's doing in somebody's life. And this person had confessed that, got it right, and had moved on. I said, listen, brother, that's all you can do. I said, is there some things that all of us have to deal with because of something we did, possibly? Somebody lived in sin for many, many years. Do they still have some health difficulties because of the way they lived? Yes, possibly. Probably, but between you and the Lord, there's no animosity there because you have 1 John 1:9 it, meaning you've brought it to God, you've confessed it to him, and he has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. That fellowship is sweet again. So the confession and then the thanksgiving in verse number 10 of this section here in Matthew, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth as it is in heaven. In that passage there, we are thanking the Lord. I believe as I'm reading it, I'm thanking the Lord. Lord, I want your will done. And that also means that I'm thanking you for how the little parts that I play in that. How you've positioned me. I pray in the mornings. I thank the Lord that I get to be the pastor of the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I love what I do. I love you. I love our church. And I love what God is doing here. And I love that we have people coming in. And so I thank God for the privilege of doing this. I thank God that I'm the dad of our three kids. And I thank God that I have a wonderful wife who's in the nursery, wants me to hurry up. I thank God for all of these things. So I go through this thanksgiving that God is good. And I'm thanking him for his will, and I'm thankful for every little part, thy will be done. I believe it was the will of God that I marry my wife. I believe it was the will of God that we are the pastor and pastor's wife. I believe it's the will of God that all of us are in this room. I believe it's we're in the will of God doing these things. And I say, thy will be done. So we thank God for some things. And then the supplication, which all of us truly think about in prayer. And prayer is asking. That's what John Rice said again and again in his book, Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. Prayer is supplication. Verse number 11, give us this day our daily bread. Now, you know my thoughts on that. There's enough food in our house to last for a couple weeks probably. It might not be that tasty at the end of the 2 or 3 weeks. You're going to have to get creative and know what to do with those noodles that don't have any sauce to put on them and all that stuff. But we probably survive. So sometimes it's hard for us spoiled Americans to pray that fervently. But I'm trying to get the principle that every breath that we have, every bit of food that we need, every bit of health that's in your possession, be it a lot or a little, it's the Lord's gift to you. And so I'm trying to pray with fervency, even though I'm not hungry. I haven't been hungry for a while now today. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And I expand that out to our necessities. And Lord, give us these things. And so that's where that supplication comes in. And there's so much more than just our physical needs. There are other things that are going on in our lives, and there are different things that we need. We need God to work in our girls' lives as they take the next steps for their selves. We need God to work in Jared's life as he and his wife take the next step as the new baby comes in their home and try to raise two little ones and do what God wants them to do. We pray for you all. We pray for God's leading our church, and we pray for direction. You know, one of the things I'm going to talk about here in just a little bit after the invitation about some next steps that I think God wants us to take. And I'm praying, God, give us wisdom and direction and clarity. And all of these things are supplications. Supplication is a humble petition. Somebody comes to the courtroom. They say, I petition the court. I was just asking, if it would please you, Your Honor, I would please give me this. We're petitioning something. And so that supplication is that. So A-C-T-S. And this is literally a way that you can bring your prayer time and take that however much time you're able to give and say, I'm going to work through this. I'm going to adore God that I am talking to. I'm going to confess every sin that I know in my life. If there's anything that I'm not right, Lord, forgive me. I'm just going to spend some time thanking Him for who He is and what He's given me. Your will be done, dear Lord, and let me play a little part in wherever You want me to, but Your will be done, not for my glory, but for Thine. And then supplication. Lord, I pray that You'd help my daughter as she goes to do this. I pray that, Lord, You'd help my spouse as they go to do this today. And Lord, I pray that You'd help me keep my testimony. Lord, I pray that You'd help somebody that's having a difficult time. Supplication. So that's how to pray. You could take 25 minutes and say, I'm going to work this acrostic, and then you could have a meaningful prayer time together. And then number four, as I rush on, I'll just quickly get through these two. Decide where to pray. You're in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6. The Bible says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut thy door, pray to thy father, which is in secret, and thy father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, somebody could take the Bible so literally. We take it literally, of course. But they could take it literally, and that means you can't pray anywhere except in a closet, and you have to shut the door. Of course, that's not what it means. The principle given that you're not praying to be seen of everybody. By virtue of the fact we have a public service right here, we have had some prayer times that people were praying out loud. That's certainly not unbiblical. But if that's all the praying that this pastor did, you don't have a very good pastor. Because the scriptural principle is, get in thy prayer closet. Get alone with the Lord. And so decide where to pray. And that doesn't mean that that's the only place you have to pray. But I can tell you this. All of you all have been gone through a store. And you've heard a song over the intercom system, or over the PA, and that song has taken you back to somewhere. Oh, yeah. You can kind of remember when it came out, or what it meant to you, or whatever, somewhere. The same thing in a certain way should happen when you go past some places at your house, when you go past some places in your basement, you go past some places in your backyard. It ought to trigger some memories. We were praying for that right there. Saw God do something. I remember some places I was walking when God seemed to direct in a certain way. And so we ought to decide where to pray. And then lastly is this. I'm going to kick out a lot of things, but that is to decide to pray again. Again, these principles are not prayer passages, but principles you can use in life. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse number 16, that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. So tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day, sometime, you're going to run out of the house late. You thought you was going to pray in the car on the way home, way to work, but somebody called you and you got them on speakerphone. You're talking all the way through. You get to the work, then you finally go through that. It's just busy all day long and you don't have a job that you can have a freedom to pray while you're working on something. And then the end of the day comes, you're so dog tired that you can't even hardly stay awake to pray. That's going to happen sometime. You know, we gave you the spiritual advice. Well, this is not the spiritual advice. Don't let me just give you some worldly advice. Well, better luck next time. No. A just man falls seven times yet rises up again. The best thing that you can do after a day like that is also the best thing that you can do after one day that you had that same scenario happen to you, but you just forgot to read your Bible all day, or you kept getting at one point or another, every juncture that you thought you might have time, you just couldn't get around to it. The best thing that you can do is read it the next day. Because you know when it's easiest to not read it is when you didn't read it the day before. And then those days just gang up on each other, and before long you got a bunch of them together. So decide to pray again. Setbacks come. Here's what happens. Company comes to your house, messes up your routine a little bit. You usually go out and sit in the recliner and pray and read your Bible there. Well, that stinking brother-in-law of yours is out there in your recliner, and so it kind of messes up your schedule. Well, get back on the horse, as they say. Anything that changes your schedule can kind of get you off base. Well, Scripture tells us to, if we fall or whatever happens, fall, then you get back up. Well, I'm just asking you to apply that same principle to prayer. So I hope that you'll take that little acrostic in point number three and hope you'll apply all of the points to your prayer life, because we need to be Christians that are prayers, praying people. I think that we would save ourselves a lot of blow-ups. I think we'd save ourselves a lot of animosity between our spouse and us if we were those people who were constant in prayer. Father, we come to you in prayer. And Lord, we don't want to just do it publicly. I pray that each and every one of us would be engaged in private prayer, closet praying. I pray that we would get started in that if we haven't already. But then, dear Lord, I pray that you would take something in this lesson tonight. Try to be very practical. And Lord, get our prayer life on track. Get us doing it consistently, dear Lord. Help us do it not haphazardly, not do it for a day or two, and then we just go through without praying. Lord, help us be people of prayer. My friend, if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, but you haven't been as consistent in your prayer life as you should be. I'm not talking about whether you pray for 20 minutes, an hour, whether you pray for 50, 15 or 10, but you haven't been as consistent as you think you ought to be. Then my friend, would you speak to the Lord about that? Tell him, Lord, help me. Help me apply some of these things that the pastor has mentioned even. I want my prayer life to be consistent. I want it to be fervent. But if it's not consistent, it won't be, I don't think. Help us, I pray, dear Lord. If there's somebody here unsaved, Lord, I pray they'd be saved. I pray every one of us, dear Lord, would do business with you as you lead us. We'll thank you for it. Brother Nathan's going to come and lead us in this song, sing for us. God, speak to your heart. I invite you to come. Maybe you want to make an altar out of your pew right there. Just tell the Lord some things that you want to be better at in your Christian life.
Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, as the hart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee.
just wanted to give an illustration of something that we had talked about before, and that is that I won't mention all the names and things. Jack will tell me here in just a minute when we're sure we're offline, but I did want you to be praying. I somehow missed it on one list, but I think Brother Jerry Lovegrove's got a procedure coming up on Monday. Thank you, Jack. We will certainly be praying for him and going through some health battles there, so we're praying for him.